Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
Well, last time I had to come here behind the pulpit, we did a work on the book of James. And again, thank you, Gapusa and couple, for being able to come and open the service with the book of James, reading from the book of James. And it looks like I'm being encouraged by the Holy Spirit to be able to take another book and do an overview. So today we're going to do the book of Colossians. And my time is 11:18. We're going to go through four chapters. That will be a miracle. Okay? Amen. Believe God for a miracle. The pastor is going to do this. Right. Like lightning. And the title of the word today is Our Real Identity. Our Real Identity. How many of you had a real ID of California? You have to fall in line, get a photograph, you know, the order, the whole challenge to be there to get. And while I was getting that, the Lord was speaking to me. You see, you can be in the ordinary routine of life, but hear the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So I said, okay, real ID of California, but what it is to get the real ID of heaven.
Amen.
The real ID of God in you. The very thumbprint of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit just started to talk and start to brew, you know, thoughts, impressions about the word, and bumping into the book of Colossians. Every chapter has something to say about our new identity in Christ, the real identity that we have. People have different personalities. We receive that. But when it comes to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the unity that we have. Amen. That is the identity that we can call each other's, one another, brother and sisters, because of a common denominator that we have in Jesus. So today when we were worshiping, bombarding heaven and earth with the name of Jesus, yes, that's our identity. It resonates in your spirit because, you know, Jesus lives inside of you.
Amen.
So when you look at the overview of the book of Colossians, you know, they're pretty much impressive congregation. It was not Paul who planted the church, but another apostle or another believer who started it. But looking into their setting, one verse stands out in verse 2 that says, "We are writing to God's holy people in city of Colossae." Paul calling them holy people. So if Paul is writing to Hacienda Heights, he will call us holy people of Heights. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are we the holy people of Heights? Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Meaning to say you're set apart for God. You're not set apart for this world.
Right.
You're set apart to see and meet Jesus face to face. We're looking forward to that. And that's the reason it could be read by Heights as well. And if you say, we're writing to God's holy people in Heights. That really sounds nice, you know, to affirm who we are in Christ. Then the second description of the recipient of the letter says, who are faithful brothers and sisters. Come on, look at each other. That's the faithful brother. Come on, you guys. Why are you so shy? Look at that. They're the faithful sister. Come on. The faithful brother. What a wonderful family. That's why Garcias, you're always welcome. All right. You know, there's no space and time. That through the years we have fellowship and known each other, God has just brought us even much closer and closer. So with this, you know, Paul was affirming the faith before he kind of like give them more exhortations and corrections and reminder. So not only holy people, faithful brothers and sisters, hallelujah, in Christ, and that he prayed a very short word, but many prayers in the book of Colossians say, may God our Father give you grace and peace. In that very short prayer, may God the Father give you grace and peace, sets the whole aspect of a silver thread that begins to be unfold in each of the chapter. So here we go, chapter 1. What would be the thing that really identify and give us our real ID in Christ. When you put a heading in or a subject to what you would want to be able to bring out, then when you look at the whole chapter and see, and it looks like all the other verses had different types of way of giving you your identity in Christ. But for me, it stood out where there is no comparison when you read verse 15 and 17. Because in all other books and Paul's writing, it could have been maybe mentioned one or two, three lines. But this kind of whole paragraph gave an extensive exhortation, teaching, doctrine of who the supremacy of Christ is. So let's read verse 15 and 17. Supremacy of Christ. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God.
Come on.
Now digest that a little bit. You are being exposed by the word to see something that has not been seen. Well, history bears, you know, the proof that Jesus has existed and walked on earth. You know, you talk about the place of birth of Jesus. You talk about the empty tomb. You talk about the historical details for where Jesus has traveled. And even, you know, they record all the 29 cities where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, when they were fleeing Israel and they went to Egypt. Do you know that in Egypt they had landmarks where Jesus came into their land when they were fleeing Herod? Now, history begins to take you to the reality, not just of the existence of Jesus, but where the gospel not only has the potential, but the power to reach people. So even the Egyptians cannot deny Jesus existed. Even though it's a Muslim country, you know, there are Coptic Christians in Egypt. They worship freely. And we are believing that God would raise up the Egyptians or the Egyptian Christians to bring the end time gospel to the Arab nation. Why? They have that opportunity as to be able to freely worship and be able to come together in their, whether synagogue, temples, or in different places of worship. But what an experience that the Holy Spirit, through His Word, would invite you and me to have a view of the invisible God through Christ. So next time you read the gospel, next time you read the scripture, you can pray this way: Lord, show me how you exist in my life. Because why? Christ is the head, and we are His body. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
God can manifest through you.
Come on. Amen.
If God wants to show up, He will use you.
That's right.
So next time we had an outreach, show up. I'm putting you in a corner. Yeah, I've worked this out. You have no way out. Show up for the small groups.
Yeah.
Show up for prayer time.
That's right.
Show up for the things that we do in God's kingdom. Because you'll never know. Maybe the invisibility of God's blessing and God's presence would manifest Himself through His body. If God can manifest it through the skies, through the clouds, through the atmosphere, how much more would God manifest in people whom He made in whose image? Yes. If you're not convinced, then you're not convinced that you are made in the image of God, and maybe something, some image you are made of. I'm just putting it bluntly, because that's how it is, as the scripture says, you know, in the beginning, God breathed into the nostril of man the breath of life, His spirit, His image inside of us. So this is a whole bunch of truth unloaded in this first chapter to make sure your identity in Christ is certain. So if you're still kind of groping in the dark about your identity of who you are, your image of God, and that your salvation relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ manifest that in every day of your life. Christ, the invisible image of the visible God. So there's a transparent revelation. Next to that verse, he existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. That means his pre-existence as a supreme being is the brand, the thumbprint. Because of our experience now in Christ, we begin to understand that he existed long time ago, but Christ came into being to manifest the presence of God on earth. The Word became flesh and lived among us. So the plan of God hasn't changed. He still wanted to live with us through his Word. He plans to live with us by the Holy Spirit. So we got being filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to live with us, to commune with us, because his existence and his supreme existence, so that he can continually reveal himself being invisible. He wants his grace, blessing to be visible through each one of us. Third on this verse that we are reading, through him, God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. If you see the how it encompasses and embraces, you know, the power of the name of Jesus, which we had been seeing, that through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. That speaks about creating the content, the content of what we are composed of. So when God created everything, he placed his identity inside of you. That's why we're not just body, we're not just soul, we are spirit. Amen. So God put his thumbprint in each one of us because we are spirit beings. So spirit beings can worship God in spirit and in truth. If we are not spirit being, we could not connect with God's spirit. So today you worship because you are a spirit being. You are a spirit person. So you cannot deny your identity being a, now I can look at your name, spiritual person. Sometimes, oh, am I a spiritual person? Yeah, you are holy, set apart. Begin to embrace your spirituality in Christ. You know, sometimes we're so detached with the spirituality of God, we alienate ourselves into the challenge of what it is to be holy, set apart for God, which is actually the very purpose for how and why he created us. And as a result, you know, we live a lifestyle. So it is spontaneous to live a lifestyle that is holy and acceptable and present it as our worship to God. So he, when he created, you know, the reason why I say this, because in our personality, in our identity, God is the content creator. Amen. Now that registers. I'm using this language, people, really hard. You know, sometimes it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks. I'm coping up. I'm trying to catch up there. You want really, really real content creation to make a difference? Allow God.
Amen.
Allow his spirit.
Yeah.
Allow his word to carve it right inside of you. Because at the beginning, he is already the content creator. And he can still continue to create the content creation in your life today and become like him. So through God, through him, God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdom, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Now we realize spiritual warfare in whole of that sentence. That's why we understand spiritual battles. In that phrase, in that sentence, begin to kind of like glean That's the reason why we are spiritual warriors, because the things that are not seen can be revealed to you through the personality of the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus that is in us. Hallelujah. The supremacy of Christ that rules our hearts and minds. Oh boy, I'm advancing to chapter 3. That rules our hearts and our lives begin to manifest, hallelujah, in being able to wage those battles, because it's still under the dominion and authority of God's creation. And then the fourth point of this verse, everything was created through him and
for him.
One more time. Everything was created through him and
for him.
That's two big words. You don't just read through and for him. Wow. Then therefore, my being a created spiritual being is for who? For him. You allow God to take control of your life. You begin to see the significance of your identity, your existence. You begin to see not only significance, but importance to God, why he has created you. So when God plugs you in to be part of his body, so folks, it's not about church membership.
Right.
It's not about being able to come to church just like this, but to have a revelation, understanding you are a part of God's body.
Amen.
Once you have that, wherever you go, you know your identity in Christ. So whether you came the Ruiz family from New York to come here to California, I got family here. That you got family for where you are. You know, in understanding Garcias, you're visiting, but you got family here. How beautiful. Thank you for coming this Sunday. I can make really that illustration so well. By the way, just a minute. We have accommodations in the Agape church, you know. Anytime that the Lord would kind of give us that opportunity to visit, you know, they just receive us. And with no fail through the years, it's just that we're given an opportunity to honor the family and the ministry that is being represented there. And what a reality to see that we are such a one big great family in the Lord.
Amen.
So all of this is created for him.
Amen.
For the glory of God. With that we can see, so when he make content creations, it's not for our benefit alone,
right,
but for him. So when he placed gifts, talents, ability, capacity in whatever way, who gets the glory? For whose purpose? So now the challenge that you begin to understand your identity in Christ is to say, for what purpose? I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you while you're hearing this. Lord, with all of what I have gone through, for what reason? For what purpose? You'll never go wrong, because it's always for him. Once you focus that and say, Lord, whatever it is, maybe my broken arm. Hey, brother. Maybe my broken arm, but for your glory. For my broken leg, for your glory. So,
oh,
you might have a different issue. But God, I begin to understand that it's for you. How can I glorify you in my pain, in my suffering, in my challenges, in everything? Because God, when we say God never made you an accident, that you are purposely, intentionally made so you can have that identity in Christ.
Amen.
Your real ID. Last thing in this verse. You know why I'm spending on this part? So I can run through the rest of the chapter. Hold this. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. And everybody read the last line.
He holds all creation together.
It's like bold letters jumping out. Lord, if I know that my identity is in you, it's because This is a big word. He hold, you hold everything together. We're not just referring to the universe and to the galaxy.
Right.
I'm taking you first there. Because that's how, I'm not a scientist. I'm not even endeavoring to explain that to you. But he hold that. If God can hold the universe, are you ready? He can hold you. If God can hold the universe, he can hold you.
Amen.
I'm speaking that in the name of Jesus. So you are not tricked with any type of ideology, thinking, and patterns of this world that would sway you to believe that somebody else has a hold of you. Not even your past, not even your sin, not even the condemnation of what the enemy would do. Because the truth is, God is the one holding you. So hold on to that. We're going to run chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. With the thought that supremacy of Christ, it's because God is holding me.
Amen.
So chapter 2, God is holding me and that I have a personal union with Christ. Verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God. So you can see now the invisibility of God and the fullness of God that is in who? In Christ. And you're included. Why? You're the body of Christ. Don't alienate yourself now from the very fact that, you know, he is the one who created, I will build my church. The whole idea of the body of Christ was his. So when you join in, when you accept, when you begin to engage in a personal relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, there you go with this wonderful power engaging in you being a child of God. So for Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So think of what we talk about in chapter 1 and begin to see, oh, that's the reason why my union with Christ brings my true identity. Okay? So to understand your salvation, to your redemption, on how God has set apart you for the kingdom of God, brings the reality of how God wants to manifest himself to you. Back to your preaching, Pastor. So when we get out there to shine our light, we're never ashamed.
Amen.
It's not our personality. It's not our identity. It's the identity of Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay? So in everything we do, we pray that God exudes that in every aspect of our life. So God, Paul gives us that don't let anyone capture you with the empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. The reason being that is being identified so that you reaffirm your identity in Christ. Because the philosophy, you're taking the philosophy of the word, philosophy of who God is in your life. Second, the spiritual powers of the world is real, okay, but your union in Christ, okay, brings the reality to engage yourself with the power from on high.
Amen.
Thirdly, for Christ lives in us fully because our completeness is in Christ. And because of that, you know, when the enemy comes to try to trick you and try to sway you, you know, of the things you lack, remind yourself that you are complete in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, you begin to acknowledge that it is by his grace and by his blood that your relationship, that in if God can manifest that completeness of his invisible nature in Christ, that he also can do it with you. So you also are complete through your union with Christ.
Amen.
So when is communion?
Next week.
There you go. Oh, boy. When we partake communion next Sunday, could we just allow the Holy Spirit to reflect we are celebrating our completeness in Christ. I pray the Holy Spirit convinces you that, because no amount of rhetoric, not even that, conversation or talk can sway, not unless the Holy Spirit is the one doing that. Next time you partake communion, it's not a ceremony. You are affirming that which is a reality already. It's so real, so that when you receive the bread and the cup that contains the emblem of his shed blood, we're reminded that we are complete in him. And lastly, who is the head over every ruler and authority? You remember that? All the invisible thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authority in the unseen world? Here you go, your answer. Not only he hold that, but in this verse it says he is head of all the invisible entity.
Amen.
So when you worship, when you pray, take dominion, take authority. Don't back down. You understand yourself, there are uncertainties. You identify your fear, you identify your doubt. But don't back down, because your identity proves that you are complete, you are able, and that you have the power through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us do this in 3 minutes.
All right.
Hallelujah. Ready, worship team. Okay, thirdly, chapter 3, the rule of Christ. So if we have the union of Christ that proves our true identity, the rule of Christ. So when you make your surrender to Christ, the more that the true identity of who we are manifests to us. One big verse, everybody gets to know this, verse 15 to 17. So let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts, in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message of Christ in all its richness and abundance fill your lives, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do in or say, do it as a representative. Everybody say representative. So now you begin to see the whole idea of your identity in Christ is so real, because you're his representative. You are his ambassador. You are able to speak in behalf of him. And with this we see peace rules. Okay, Psalms him, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Peace rules, called out membership to one body. Okay, and then thirdly, gratitude rules, word rules, worship rules, and that we are authorized representative. Tell your neighbor, you're authorized representative. Now, you might not have a large ID, but that being, you know that ID, it's also say, I love this, all access. You know what that means? It says in your ID, all access. You have access to the throne of grace. You have access, you know, to the very inner courts in the high place with God. And lastly, devotion to Christ. So your new identity brings you to an intimate relationship with God because of your devotion. On how? So the last chapter 4, verse 2 to 6, it says this. Devote yourself to prayer. Be an alert mind and be thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious, and attractive so that you will have the right answer, the right response for everyone. So we're being called to spiritual alertness, not just in prayer. But back to the theme for 2025, we're being called to what? To be bold. So here we go. Be bold to speak. Every opportunity to speak about the mysterious plan concerning Christ. And there it goes again. Wisdom begin to rule and being wise in taking every opportunity that we have. Gracious in our speech. Let our conversation be gravitational force of the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine when you connect with people, always think, how can this person gravitate closer to God? Lastly, every appropriate and tactful response speaks about your personality being a Christ representative, an ambassador with God. So with this, God is holding you. Through this, having a new identity in Christ, you have His embrace. You have His protection. You have His shield. You're being encapsulated because He wants to preserve that identity that you have with Him through His Word. He's going to sustain you. So with this, we pray this morning that whatever we face as individuals or as a church, that we carry the identity of Christ, the real ID, the real personality of what we have reflects the glory of who God is. And He completes us. Bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Jesus, thank You that it is You that completes the work in us. That in spite of the many difficulties, many struggles, and many issues that we are facing, we cannot fear. We cannot be anxious. We cannot doubt, because we are sure it is You who is holding us. So right now I pray that we submit ourselves to Your hand. We totally put our whole weight on You, in knowing that You secure us and complete the work that You have begun in us. While every head is bowed and eyes closed, You want to refresh Your personal relationship with God and say to Him once again, Lord, I place my life, I place my future, I place my everything into Your hand. It's not about me trying to get a hold of You, but it's about You getting a hold of me. Will you pray this prayer and begin to submit and surrender your life totally to the hands of God? Say these words with me aloud, please, and say, Dear Lord Jesus, into Your hands I commit, I present, I dedicate my life. Thank You that You have thoughts of preserving me, completing me, and placing Your identity into my life, that I can reflect You and be Your representative to the world because of Your grace. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for new life in Christ. Thank You for the blood that has washed me, cleansed me, and assured me of Your protection and covering. For this I pray, I give You thanks in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.